My name is Adolfo, and it's a pleasure to be with you. Bear with me, Spanish is my language, so I hope to do this okay today. My family and I have been coming to Union Church for a year and a half, about so. My wife Esther and my two lovely daughters, Camila and Nicole, and we are part of this community. And my wife sometimes gives some Sunday kids classes, and maybe you have seen me quite sometimes playing with the band, my violin. That's because I'm a professional musician. So we try to serve in this church, and maybe that's why Lance some months ago approached me and he asked me to be part of the summer preaching team. Obviously, my first reaction was to be quite nervous, and I told him that I would gladly do it if he would just let me do it towards the end of summer. I said something like early December. That's how unprepared I feel for such a big responsibility. But the most I could get from him was that I could do it after my birthday, which was actually last Sunday. So last Sunday for me was a nice day, a very nice day, which I spent celebrating with my family. And among the gifts I received a bottle of a fragrance that is among my favorite fragrances, and I haven't used for a long time. So I was really happy of receiving that gift. But then I remembered the story of a man that went to a store to ask for a couple of Chanel No. 5 perfumes. And then the store clerk was really surprised and told him, well, for whom is this? And he said, it's for my mother-in-law. He said, well, you should love her so much to buy a couple of so expensive bottles. And the man replied, no, actually, I heard her yesterday saying that she would die for having just one of that bottles. So at the end, I'm not sure why they gave me this fragrance to me. But well, actually, this is because all the week I was thinking about why we do this. I'm sure if I drop this question today, many of us, if not all of us, have at some time given or received a perfume as a gift. And why do we do that? Why do we care so much about aromas? And why do we spend around $30 billion every year in the perfume industry? Well, I believe it's because we are an image of our Creator. And when we go through the scriptures, which we're going to do today, we can find out that God is really, really serious about smells. That's why today we're going to talk about knowing God's nose. Quite a strange subject for today. But during this week, I was looking for references in the Bible, and there are over 50 references of the words either aroma, smell, or fragrances only in the Pentateuch. This is only the first five of the Bible. And there are more, much more throughout the Old Testament. And there are fewer, but still there are a lot in the New Testament. So since there's so much in the Old Testament, I found it really interesting to study it. And some of us may think that we are not under the rules of the Old Testament, which is true. But still, I think it's very important to study what's all about God's nose from the Old Testament, because by studying it, we can get a lot of insight of God's character, which remains unchanged throughout the years, throughout the ages. And also we can get a lot of ideas, a lot of information about what sacrifices are all about and what pleased or displeased our God. So let me spend some minutes on this, because I found that, so many interesting things about God's nose. So the first thing I remember researching this week, I found this passage which is really curious, really interesting. We will read it. It's a very detailed recipe that God gave directly to Moses to prepare a specific perfume for the tabernacle. Just let's read it together, or let me read it for you. The Lord said to Moses, take the finest pieces of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet-smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, 500 of acacia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make of this a sacred anointing oil blended as a perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Quite interesting how much the level of detail that God himself gave to Moses. And if you keep reading this passage, which I encourage you to do, by the way, we're going to read a lot of passages from the Bible, so I think it's a good idea if you can just write down the references that will appear there, because we're only reading separated verses, But then you can read the whole chapters and get a better idea of what we're talking today and maybe agree or not with me with the conclusions we are having today. So if you keep reading, like 10 verses ahead from that, there's another explanation of another perfume that God, again, gave to Moses directly. So after reading it, you can also see that God was so jealous about this recipe. He said it was prohibited to prepare this oil or this perfume for any other reason than using it in the tabernacle. And there was a very severe punishment for this. So we can see that God is really serious about smells. He even is giving us specific ingredients that he likes to perceive, that he likes to smell. And that is why God likes the smell that our sacrifices produce. You know, throughout the Old Testament, there's this very common phrase that it's a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Maybe a lot of you have heard this phrase. It's like the outcome of a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Actually, we need to know that during the Old Testament, sacrifices were the main way to worship God. They were what in theology we call an archetype, which means it's an image, an example, a shadow of what was coming later on when Jesus came and died for all of us, for all of our sins. But in that time, sacrifices were to redeem sin, and they were mainly the only, or it was the main way in which they could worship God. So God asked for either animals or vegetables, fruits, and at the end they were all burned, and they would produce a smell. And this smell was physically, I think, it was physically perceived by God. And you could ask, and why is this important or not? I'm amazed of one of the outcomes of these pleasing aromas. It's a story that many of us, I think all of us know. Even if you were not a Christian child, I know you know about Noah's Ark. That's a story that we have all read many times, but it's so amazing at the end of that story, which is in Genesis 8. Look at this. God can change his decisions if he smells a pleasing aroma. That's a powerful thing to say. We can read together, or let me read for you. Just pay close attention to the words and to the order in which things are happening. It's supposed that, well, when Noah knew that the water was down and that they could go off the boat, then the first thing he did was to build an altar and to offer a sacrifice to God. So here is the conclusion. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, that is after he smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. What a wonderful promise. You know, if you see carefully, it's not a promise that God gave to Noah. It's a promise he did for himself. He spoke that in his heart after smelling a pleasing aroma. What an extraordinary resource we have to be close to God. We can move God's heart throughout our sacrifices, and then he can take decisions that will affect centuries from now. We still have the certainty that tomorrow we'll have sun, and we'll have night and sun and all those things, and they will be until the end of the days. That's how great, or that's to the point that our sacrifices can go. God really can change his decisions, but also God can dislike or even ignore some smells. And all of these passages, sometimes we try to avoid to talk about them because they are kind of tough. And we don't want sometimes to get the idea that God is an angry God all time, mainly in the Old Testament. But still we need to know about this. Because what we are trying to do today is to know God's nose, God's character. So let's see, what are the examples where God didn't like, displeased, or even ignored the smell of a sacrifice? Well, the first example, we humans tend to do everything wrong. So not even 5 chapters of the Bible, in chapter number 4 of Genesis, we find the first murder in humankind. It's a story between 2 brothers which brought the sacrifice to God, which means it was a difference about worshiping God. And the passage there in Genesis 4 says, "And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard." This passage has been used quite a lot of times for a lot of controversy, because in the passage itself we lack a lot of information. So sometimes people say that it might be because of what they brought to sacrifice God, but, well, I did a lot of research during these couple of weeks that I was preparing this sermon, and also I read a lot of books afterwards in Hebrew. In the book of Hebrews, there's an explanation that what made Abel's sacrifice acceptable was his faith. So we can conclude that we can conclude throughout all the research I did that actually somehow God gave them some directions and some instructions on how and when to present sacrifices. And that's why we suppose that they were offering a sacrifice at the same time. And they were offering what they were working on. The problem was not that Cain offered vegetables or that Abel offered a living animal. The problem was what was in Abel's heart and what was not in Cain's heart. But later on, in Leviticus 30, there's another very interesting passage of the Bible which talks about the consequences of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. And it draws my attention strongly that one of the consequences of disobedience is, he said, the Lord said, "And I will not smell your pleasing aromas," as a consequence of disobedience. I think this is a very sad situation when we're offering something and he will not smell it because we're on disobedience. And then he repeats that in 1 Samuel 15:22, which is there, you can write it down. "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." So you can see that even in the Old Testament, where there was so many rules and it was so complicated and there were so specific times in the year and you had to bring specific animals, specific vegetables, even where there were so many rules, what God was looking for was not the external thing, but obedience, the heart. That's why this is a very strong passage in Isaiah chapter 1, when God is talking to his people and he says, "The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me?" He even says, "Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me." That's just terrible. I just can't imagine, whenever we give a gift, we spend some time, effort, and money to prepare it. And what is our reaction if we give this gift and the person receiving it just don't care and just doesn't pay attention? I think that's a very sad situation. And we need to know that, because I'm sure that all of us that are here today, at least we want to know a little bit more about God. But for sure, I think we all want to please God. So we need to know that there are certain times in which our sacrifices cannot be very aromatic, pleasuring for God. So it is clear that even in the Old Testament, what matters the most is your heart's innermost intention. It appears, or it seems, that the true aroma God is looking for is the aroma of our heart. But then the New Testament came, and the sacrifice system changed a lot. Since Jesus came, he became the ultimate sacrifice, and he died for all of our sins. So now the sacrifice system has changed quite a lot in form and in meaning, because now we don't need to offer an animal, a living animal, and we don't need to do it in order to be redeemed from our sins. That part was already done by our Lord, by Jesus on the cross. But anyway, we are still offering worship and sacrifices. So according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, you can read there, that we are living stones. It says that we are being built up a spiritual house, and that we need to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. That means that now, sacrifices, even before, the most important part was not the physical part, now sacrifices are in the spiritual thing. It's spiritual sacrifices, what God is looking for. And there's another passage in Ephesians which says that we should be imitators of God. And we should walk in love, and we should present ourselves as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We need to offer ourselves as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. This means that now we are the living sacrifices. We are the living sacrifices. Our life is the one producing the aroma that might please or displease God. And I would like to compare our lives to a perfume. Each of us is a perfume today sitting on our bench. And actually, as a perfume that cannot decide if in a certain moment it can produce or not produce aroma, a perfume smells all day long, such is our life. God is along you every day, every hour, every second, and He's smelling you. So we need to be prepared to be a pleasing aroma. You know, this is the true concept of worship. When you ask people, some people would say that worship is the act of singing, clapping, or playing an instrument during worship time in church. And that, at the most, is a short answer, if not even it's wrong. Because music is just a very small part of worship. Worship is your whole life, which is smelling every second. You should try to build a very, very nice perfume. So as we read in Exodus about this detailed list that God gave to Moses, God is the same in the Old Testament and today. He has the same character. So He still wants some ingredients to be put into our lives and some ingredients that we should avoid. So let's build a little recipe book today so that you can build with your life a good perfume. So first of all, I would like to talk about the ingredients we need to avoid, because obviously there are some ingredients that are not good for producing a pleasing aroma. And it's only one. It's only one ingredient with many faces, with many kinds, which is sin. You know, many churches don't want to talk about sin because they don't want people to feel uneasy. But we need to understand that sin is a consequence of disobedience, and it is not an acceptable ingredient. Sin separates us from God. So if there's sin in your life, there's a high probability that your worship is stinky, that your worship is not getting to the nose, to God's nose. So it's very important, because sometimes we think that just by coming to church every once in a while and keep doing whatever we are doing wrong in our lives, that's okay. But actually, that's not okay. And actually, that's why we should be talking about sin in church. Because where other place could I find strength in my weak spots if it's not talking with you about what it's difficult for me, about my struggles? So in church, we need to talk about sin, not to point fingers or to judge one another, but to support, to try to get rid of this bad ingredient. It's very important that we understand that if we have sin in our lives, we are producing a stinky worship. And that's a lot to say. But obviously, there are also a lot of ingredients that we should include, which are there. And there are plenty of ingredients that you can put in your life. But I would like to talk only about five of them that would be helpful for you to have a better aroma today. First of them relates to God. That means build or develop a relationship with God. That means pray, read, meditate. Because the more you know God, the more you will be able to please Him. When you want to give a gift to someone, you need to know that person. And then you need to know what he likes, what he doesn't like, how he likes you to behave. So the best way to worship God is to develop a relationship with Him. Second is obeying. And this is also a very interesting thing to talk about. Because many people think that we, the Christians, that we obey out of fear. We obey because we don't want to get the consequences of our sins, or the punishment, or we don't want to go to hell. Although that is true, and we should be careful about that, actually our obeying as Christians is coming from other side completely different. Jesus, when He was here in the earth, in John chapter 14, He said with his own mouth, I don't know why, but I tend to consider these words that Jesus said, actually, I tend to consider them like more special for me. But God said to us, Jesus said to us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That means that if you're a Christian and you decide to obey God, that's because you love him. And also because you know that all these commandments are for your own benefit and that your life will be better if you obey them. So obeying is a big, an enormous act of worship, because then you're telling God you love him and you want to please him. Also, there's giving, because that's mainly could be the last part we accept to give God. Sometimes it's very difficult to put your hand here and reach the wallet and give some money during the offering, but that is also a very important part of worship. These are the ingredients of worship. It's not only singing. You need to give. You need to put your trust in God, because you give when you don't have, because you trust that God will provide for you and your family. And you give when you have, because you are thanking God for the financial blessings that he has given to you. Another one is service. You know, because when we use perfume or fragrance in our bodies, we mainly do it because we want to please a person, a specific person, or maybe a group of persons which we are going to be. But the truth is that everyone near you will smell your aroma, your perfume. And actually, that's what we need to do when we are Christians. We need to spread the aroma of Christ. We need to spread the aroma of Christianity, and that's through service. So there's a lot of opportunities here in Junior Church. There are a lot of ministries that the church is involved in and that you can participate. But you can go to other churches, to other ministries, not even Christian ministries, not even Christian associations. But you need to serve. You need to serve, and you need to spread the aroma of Christ. And obviously, there's singing and playing. I'm a professional musician, so for me that's a very nice part to do. That's like giving part of my job to Jesus, to God. But still, it's a commandment that we find in Hebrews, and it says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips. This means that we need to say thank God, we need to sing, we need to be joyful, and we need to demonstrate that we are really wanting to worship God. So if we look at this list, it's not so complicated. Actually, it's not so complicated. And I think there are like three possible moments in which you are living. One is not better than the other, but there are three moments in which we could be. One, maybe you're still struggling with some sin that you cannot get over, that you cannot repent. Maybe you are just trying to include the good ingredients, but you're still lacking of some of them. Or maybe you're doing all that, but then I encourage you to find more others and to increase the quality of those ingredients. During this week, actually, I was confronted by God, me first, and I think that God can do this for us today, because I had to make a stop and to make an evaluation of my life, of the smell I was producing. I was confronted to ask myself if in every second of my life where God is here, if he was smelling a pleasing aroma. And then I was really sad for a moment, because I wasn't a pleasing aroma. So today is a very good opportunity to make that reflection on our lives, to see if the aroma that you are producing is a pleasing aroma or not for God. And I think that today is also a very important day so that we can decide what to do with our lives as a perfume. You know, I want to tell you the story of one of the most famous perfumes. It's a story that is in the Bible, actually. I think it's in John 12. Actually, it's in all the Gospels. So Jesus was having a friend's night towards the end of his life, actually. It was the last days of his life, and he was spending a friendly dinner at a friend's place. And I just can't imagine, it was a wonderful experience. I just can't imagine, but I think he was saying so marvelous things to his disciples. So at the end of this dinner, Mary, I think she stood up from the table, and then she went to her room and brought what was maybe one of the most expensive perfumes at that time. The cost of that perfume, says the Bible, it was a 1 year salary of an average person. You can imagine the cost of that. And she decided to pour it over Jesus' feet. Obviously, there were people that were criticizing this. people that said, you know, for such an expensive perfume, you could do so many other things. That's a waste. But I just can't imagine how many millions of dollars companies could want to pay just to have a perfume so famous as this one. We've been talking about it for 2,000 years. A biggest purpose for a use of a perfume. You know, my life and your life is like a perfume in so many ways that we talk today. One of them is a perfume is a very small quantity always. We always want to have more liquid for the money we're paying, no? But they are so small as our days in this earth. But also, perfumes are quite expensive, very expensive, as your life is valuable. So I hope that today we can take a decision of what is the biggest purpose in our life. To try to build a very aromatic perfume and try to pour it over Jesus' feet. I think that's the best thing we could do. And I hope that as God worked with me during this week, I hope that God will move your hearts to change whatever is wrong in your life. Because now we can understand that we as living perfumes, our life is the ultimate act of worship. That's the main purpose that God created you and me, to please His nose. So we usually end sermons with a praying, but this time I would like to pray singing. So I will ask the praise band if you can come over here, please. As I don't know many, so maybe some of you know this song or not, but I just want to invite you to pay close attention to what we are singing, to the words, because it's meaning that we're going back to the heart of worship. So maybe if you need just a few moments with your Lord, spend them while we sing this song. Try to talk to God, to tell Him what are the ingredients that are lacking in your life, what are the ingredients that you need, or what are the ingredients that you need to get rid of. And then if you feel comfortable, please join us and sing and ask forgiveness for what we've done of worship, but we want to do it again as living perfumes. So you can stand up, please, with us.